Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to MLS Box to Box on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
I just started recording just to make sure we didn't miss anything funny off the top, which we just did.
Too late. It ain't happening anymore.
It's the first time on MLS Box to Box that the guest wrote the rundown. So we're going to literally let Paul Dolan run our show today. That's what we're doing, Greg.
I only write what I know, and even that I don't know. So
works perfect.
We'll bandy it about and see what comes of it. But
hey, thanks so much for jumping on today.
Yeah, I sent Dolly a couple notes, and then you came back with a completely different one.
It was fantastic.
I went perfect.
Tailor it to what I know, like I said. And mind you, you know, I've been so focused on the Western Conference because you're prepping for every game and virtually every game that the Whitecaps are doing that I'm doing for MLS Season Pass has been a Western Conference game, bar the TFC one, obviously. And actually, we had Charlotte at the beginning of the year, too. So that was interesting for me to see that game last weekend as well, now that they've gone back-to-back Toronto as well. So anyway, no, fire away, and you know, we'll see what discussion we can make of it.
Well, everybody who's listening, you are listening to MLS Box to Box, our Thursday Footy Prime presents with Craig Forrest and Paul Dolan today. I'm Wonger. I am the ultimate soccer expert in North America. So welcome. You've got the ultimate, the penultimate, and Craig is probably in the mid somewhere. So it's me and Dolly, top of the tier, Craig in the middle, but that's kind of normal, right, Greg?
Hold
you're
on
in that
minute.
Zone.
This is a goalkeepers union we have here.
Don't do that. I only played hockey goalie and it was average. We did mention, so Sharms isn't here, Dubs isn't here, Jimmy's not here, and JC's, everyone's got some things going on that we can talk about another time.
I know where I am on the pecking order. I can even see that Stax has matched his hat to his jacket nicely for me as well.
Well, the other thing, Paul, he only has Puma wear. Like, he's got four. It's in his lineup of clothes to pick.
Yeah,
the blue one, the red one.
That needs to change. I'm in the Adidas office. Mind you, you can't see that.
See, I got my red one here. Look at, you're pulling the Adidas out. I'm pulling on my Puma. Look.
Adidas and Puma are getting some free promo on Footy Prime is what I'm getting out of this.
Oh, well, we might need to sort that out.
Paul Dolan, thanks so much for jumping on with us today. I joked about it at the beginning, but let's talk about what you know. And one of the subjects you threw out there when Craig said, hey, this is what we want to talk about, and your rebuttal to that was, well, I want to talk about this. So the first one we're going to talk about is Greg Vanney and the LA Galaxy and how that's been going. And I'm sure lots of interest. Loris comes over. They have that Oh, sorry, that's LAFC. See, this is how much I know. But tell me about how do you think that's going with Vanny being the former TFC? Had a few years to get this turned around, I guess is what I could say.
Yeah, after a poor season last year. And you're only as good as the guns you have as well. And the general manager, Will Kuntz, along with Greg Vanny, identified areas that they needed to improve the team. You know, they had Chicharito there last year, a natural poacher, but there was no service provided there, and he was often injured as well. And they had Douglas Costa, who's a well-recognized World Cup veteran, but he was past his best for sure and didn't create anything in terms of a threat in behind, and neither did Chicharito for that matter. So what they did was they got a couple of DP wingers, Gabriel Peck from Brazil, from Vasco da Gama, young player on the right side, and Joseph Painsel, who was in his prime in the Belgian league. And these guys have come in and completely changed the options for maybe the best playmaker in the league, and Ricky Pooch, right? We saw what he was like last year without the ability to find players in behind or even defeat. He had the young striker, Dejan Jovalić, who now has 6 goals in 7 games to start the season for LA Galaxy, or 8 games, I guess it is now. But, you know, he came in and mainly was a substitute impact. Now you've got him starting and scoring bundles because he's getting that service. And Ricky Pooch is getting the space underneath because of that threat of those fast wingers getting in behind. And really, Painsel for me has been, I don't want to say an early candidate for MVP in the league, but he's an all-around player, really strong player. And when they identified him, they said, this is a young MVP-type player that we're bringing in. And that means that Greg Vanney can play the way he wants to play, which is possession soccer. We all saw it at TFC. He loves to circulate the ball from side to side. But then, you know, you rely on your best players. Phil Neville said that to us in a recent game, too, is that he's down at Portland now. And they weren't doing the basics right. But also, if they were, then his DPs weren't finishing on the day. They've started to come good as well with a player called Evander, a Brazilian there. But for Greg Vanney, you know, he relied on Sebastian Giovinco and Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore. But when you get the best from other players, like a Mark Delgado, who he could not say enough good things about, by the way, in our one-on-one discussion ahead of the game, as a guy who knows how to play a ball and keep the thing ticking and keep the rhythm of the offense going, and obviously his transitional play defensively. I know I'm throwing a bunch of different players here at you that might have some affiliation with the old TFC, but put it this way, right now Greg Vanney has that team ticking on all cylinders, and you can see it by the way the Whitecaps played. They sat back. They want to be defensively sound to start with, but I think they were afraid of what that offensive firepower of LA Galaxy could provide in that game, even though it was a home game for the Whitecaps.
Do you think that there, I mean, was there any chatter in the LA, you know, media about Greg Vanney actually getting fired after last season? Because it was a really poor season, but there seems to be a little bit more belief in coaches, and maybe it's the lack of relegation promotion in MLS, but they seem to get a longer leash. Was that the case with him? And they obviously believed that he could turn this around?
I think so. You know, Chris Klein was the one who was on the chopping block from the fans. If you remember, they protested at the start of last year. They wanted him out. Eventually, that did happen. Will Kuntz is coming as the GM this year. But Greg Vanney's job, I don't think, was ever in threat. But obviously, there was disappointment from a coach coming over from an MLS Cup-winning side in Toronto and having players like Chicharito and Douglas Costa and Ricky Pooch and not that not translating. But that mix of players, I don't think, is what enabled Greg to have his team flourish like it is now with the threats they have on the wings and Pooch underneath now with the space to operate. And guys like, as they say, like Delgado, who are glue players. And, you know, John McCarthy's come into the goal as well and done a really decent job. He made 7 saves against the Whitecaps. He'd made, I think it was 11, if I'm not mistaken, against LAFC in their loss the previous game. And that, I don't think, was expected either. You know, so much talk has been about their new DPs, but the other addition with the goalkeeper who's come in and replaced Jonathan Bond and Jonathan Klinsmann, he's been an upgrade as well. So all of that has Greg now, right now, I think, in a good place.
Tolly, the fans in L.A., do they have as much, is it a New York, is it a Toronto? People get fired because of what they say. What's that environment like for a Greg Vanney? Does he on a leash? Does he have time, or has he got three or four more years to make this thing a go? Because he's already turned it around.
Yeah, in the end, I feel like the Galaxy right now maybe are playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder too, right? Because everything's about LAFC in Los Angeles right now. Ever since they came into the league and the celebrity star-studded ownership group and the fact that they've bolted to the top of the league, they play a beautiful style of soccer, LAFC does. And the stars are out to watch them. And I feel like the Galaxy has been lost in the shadow really quickly ever since Zlatan left, really. But now that they are – results in the end is what people are going to remember you by and follow you. And they're getting big crowds now. You know, they drew 1-1 with Miami to start the year with Messi in town, a big sold-out stadium there. The crowds are starting to come back to Carson, which is great to see. And as you say – it's really going to be about the results more so than anything else in LA and everywhere else, I think, in MLS. And you're seeing that with coaches kind of on the hot seat right now around MLS, like Caleb Porter. It doesn't matter what your pedigree is as a winning coach. If you're not doing it now, then you're on that hot seat.
I can show you how things and times can change, because the Galaxy for the longest time were really the marquee club, sort of the club that everybody loved to hate, if you like. And now with LAFC coming in, it's, it just surely shows you if you run things properly, even in a market like that, that seemed to be LA Galaxy sort of centric, has turned around quite quickly, hasn't it?
It has. And I think some of the credit does need to go to Will Koontz, who was at LAFC and now is their GM, is working hand in glove with Greg Vanney and the rest of the technical department, I guess you'd call it there, to find the players that can help make them a better squad. And again, it's down to results. If they can continue to play as they are right now, Vanni Sartini said that they're the most dangerous team offensively in the entire league. He thinks they're the best team in the West. And I don't want to say that's not saying a lot, but certainly the East is a more dominant and strong division in terms of the actual teams and the threats to win MLS Cup. But the West is very unpredictable. And right now, Vanni Sartini says that he thinks that that LA is the best team in the West and the best team offensively in the entire league.
We're going to go from LA to New York, and the New York Red Bulls sitting atop the East, actually in goals against below Miami, but tied with Miami at 15 points. That's been a bit of a turnaround. What do you think, Paul?
Oh, it's all down to Julian de Guzman.
Friend of the show.
Fair dues to him, though. I mean, what a place to go into. What an opportunity with a team that has been a perennial winner, but has never gotten to that final step of winning an MLS Cup. You know, it's 14 consecutive years they've made the playoffs, kind of quietly in the background, especially these last few years where they tick along, and maybe scrape in. But really don't put a footprint on the league and make people stand up and say, well, how about those Red Bulls? But that's happening this year. And again, you know, a lot of it comes down, I think, to good coaching. Sandro Schwartz has done a really good job there. And the player that they brought in, Emil Forsberg, has really been, I think, a revelation. I think a lot of people thought he would be very strong coming into the year. But then you got Dante Van Zier, who's kind of rejuvenated his career after a difficult time last year for him when he was suspended for some racial comments, alleged, I guess. I'm not sure exactly all the details behind that, but I need to be careful about exactly how we put that down. But
we let anyone say anything as long as you say alleged. Just say alleged. You're allowed to say anything.
But, you know, he missed some time and obviously had a stop-start season because of that. And then you've got Lewis Morgan, which is a comeback story this year, on 6 goals. And I don't think anyone expected that back from injury. So their players who they needed a lot from have stepped to the forefront and have done that for them. They're getting good goalkeeping from Coronel and a bit of a different style of play, too. You always thought of Red Bulls as press from the front, from the Jesse Marsh days and beyond, the whole Red Bull system of pressing high. But they're combining and they're building from the back, and they're obviously throwing in that press every now and then, but it isn't fully reliant on that. And they've put themselves together a really nice team there. The Whitecaps will be in there the week following this weekend, so we'll have a closer eye when we visit Red Bull Arena and hope to see our friend Julian de Guzman. But all in all, it's been a success story for sure this year.
you probably get a lot of time with him, because if things are going well, he probably hasn't had anything to do. He's probably looking around his office going, oh, well, things
just
are looking
like
pretty good.
Just like when he was at TSN.
Yeah.
Well, look, I have to be honest. Tell me what the role of Julian as a technical director, correct, at Red Bull, what does that entail? What is that position? It was funny because we had director of soccer culture, Pat Leduc, on from CF Montreal last week, and we had to have him explain that. And so for me as a neophyte, what is the TD for the Red Bulls? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's a good question, Wanger, because, you know, these guys have different titles, chief soccer operator or general manager or sporting director, technical director. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about building a squad, and whether it's from using the resources that Red Bull has, either at Salzburg or, you know, even Leipzig for that matter, but just the Red Bull family worldwide, whether it's using those resources and those contacts to develop young players. And that's another thing, is that New York Red Bulls have always had a really good homegrown system. They've got a couple of good players in their starting lineup who are homegrown right now. Edelman is one of them. And I think it's just cultivating that, broadening the base of where you find your players, keeping in daily contact with the rest of the GMs or sporting directors around the league, but really finding a way to build the base of your squad and improve the quality of the talent that you're bringing in. And I think the way that he sold it to them as well, and rightly so, is his world experience, having played in La Liga and some of the contacts that he's got there. You know, he's a very well-connected person who obviously has done a lot as a player for the Canadian Soccer Association, and now gets an opportunity as a, you know, relatively young sporting director, or whatever we're going to call him here.
You know, no, well, it's titled the sporting director there. That's, yeah, you know, that's interesting, because the level of those titles does mean something, and it has to words have power. And if you're put in a position where you're supposed to be making the call about this player or that player, if it's not that term, whether it's sporting director or technical director or lead scout, I mean, all these things mean something, right? So it's important that he has the title that goes with the responsibilities.
Yeah. And you know, you look around MLS right now, the rumor yesterday is that Patrice Bernier is being strongly considered for a high-ranking front office position with the new San Diego team in MLS that starts next year. Pat Onstad is doing the same thing in Houston. Mark Watson did it at Minnesota United. So there's four Canadians right off the top. You know, that's quite disproportionate in terms of the number of teams that are in MLS where mm-hmm. Canadians are at the highest position or among the highest positions in terms of the roster build anyway. But, you know, it's something that I actually want to touch base with Julian on when I visit next Friday when we get into New York, is to see exactly what his job is, how all-encompassing it is, and what he's looking to do going down into the future ahead of, you know, possibly a run into the playoffs, which it looks right now, the way that they're playing, that's a very good possibility.
Yeah, and it's definitely has to be different when you have the Red Bull family, like you talk about, and how that, you know, works and how that you can integrate those players and potentially those players on loan deals in between clubs. I mean, a little bit like the Citigroup. Do you find that there's an advantage for those clubs in some way because of those affiliations that they have?
I think so. It's not to say that I could name you three or four players who've come through the Red Bull system from other clubs that have automatically, you know, come to mind as players that have changed the way that they play for the positive. But the links between them, the young players, the homegrown methodology, I guess, is important as well, that you do see Red Bull teams playing a similar style. And having said that, I did mention the Sandro Schwartz now this year has deviated a little bit from that, which you're going to see, right? Like, you don't always play the same style of football forever and ever. You can't always be locked into that. You need to be a little bit unpredictable. You need to play to the strengths of the players that are within your squad, not necessarily the worldwide Red Bull setup. So I think they lean on some of that as a bonus, but not the be-all and end-all.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Paul, the biggest thing that's happening this weekend, other than the matches, are these new rules that are coming in. Three new rules: off-field treatment, timed substitution, and in-stadium VAR announcements. I went through them, all very interesting. Craig and I were talking off air. Are these, first of all, what do you think about them? Obviously, you're vested in this being good rules for, hey, people want to watch a game. It's for North American consumption. Did that play into these rules coming to the table and then further being instituted?
I love them. I am not a stodgy old, it's got to be the 11 on the field the way it's always been for 100 years.
That's funny because really Craig said you're stodgy. That was the word he used.
Well, I'm a stodgy old man, but I'm not stodgy when it comes to how I like to see improvements made in the game that we all love, right? Yeah. I wouldn't call myself radical either, but hey, I'm not opposed to making the goals bigger if it means more goal mouth action. You know, again, those goals have been the same size for 100 years. In any case, if there are other things that we can do to improve the flow of a game, I'm all for it. And they don't disrupt. They're not wildly radical innovations here. They were tested at MLS Next Pro, which I think is key, so that you've got some case study. And the conversation I was in yesterday with MLS and Ali Curtis, who runs MLS Next Pro for MLS, and his feedback was that there were noticeable differences in how quickly substitutions were made, knowing that if you didn't get off the park in 10 seconds, the player coming in would have to wait for a period of a minute before, or even further if the play didn't stop naturally. So you risk being a man down for over a minute. And then I think more importantly is the injury one, where injuries of more than 15 seconds went down from 6 per game to 1 per game. I mean, that's significant. And obviously it's mainly near the end of a game when a team is protecting a lead that you see this kind of rolling around and extended period of cramping when we all know well and good enough that that's not really what's happening there. So now they have the tools.
Having played in CONCACAF.
That's right. Oh, I mean, can you imagine if we were able to institute these back in the days when we played against the Honduras and the El Salvadors and Mexico's the world? Mind you, we were never up on.
It wouldn't have mattered. No, why are they making the game go longer? Yeah, well, are they extending the game? They're down 4-0, 4-0.
Yeah. I mean, they're just trying to get it to the 90 minutes, aren't they? And there are rules in place right now where the referee obviously adds added time. But it's about game flow as well and frustration for the team that's trying to get back into the game, having stop-start all the time. So I'm 100% for these rules. They haven't been difficult to implement. They're proven at MLS Next Pro. There'll be, a tinkering here and there and an adjust period. And then the other one is the VAR announcement, which we already saw at the Women's World Cup. That just gives clarity as to exactly what's going on, which I also think is a good thing.
I think it's brilliant as well. I was a little concerned about a situation where two players collide and you end up with one injured and not no fault of his own or her own, and you end up having to sit out for 2 minutes because of that. But I see that there's some rules in there that if there's a yellow or a red card given to the opposition at that time, that 2 minutes would not have to come into play. So I think they've got it pretty much figured out. And you're right. I think it is comes down to game flow. And that's really, really what has been the problem. And I think it really, really will improve that. But it is interesting, Dolly, how, you know, the rules around the world are the same, except different leagues will implement different sort of tweaks to different rules and VAR decisions and how they run VAR. And I think MLS is getting it right.
I do, too. And there's another one that I don't know that you've talked about before that doesn't get a lot of play that I think is to the benefit of MLS. And that is the offside law. And we all know that the law is the same in MLS as it is everywhere else that has VAR for offside with offside lines technology. But I like the fact that for the most part, anything close is given as the advantage to the attacker in MLS, meaning it's got to be clear and obvious. It's not with a line and you see that he's 1 inch offside. And that means that more often than not, if it's a close play and the attacker actually was offside, goals are being allowed that would have been chalked off around the world if they actually did the exact lines and saw that he was 1/8 inch offside. So I hope MLS doesn't invest in the cost of offside line technology and continues to go with advantage to the striker. Obviously, if you're off, you're off. And if it's offside to the naked eye and the linesman calls it offside, then there's no clear evidence to overturn. Then it's stayed offside. But I like the advantage goes to the attacker. The goal is scored. And unless it's clear and obvious by visual replay, that goal stands. I'm all for that as well.
I like that. 2 weeks ago, you were able to call the Caps, White Caps, and the Toronto FC match. What were your big takeaways from that, other than Vancouver is the best Canadian team in the MLS? Because yeah, it's pretty
you
obvious
just asked
right
Danny,
now.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Danny will tell you straight up. Yes. And I don't want to be too harsh on Toronto FC because I think they've overperformed to start the year. I think they were reliant heavily on John Herdman getting a team that was bought in and everyone doing absolutely everything they could to get and grind the results that they were able to. But let's be honest, they had to rely on very good goalkeeping to start the year. Sean Johnson played out of his skin in Cincinnati and then the next game as well before he was injured. And then Luca Gavrin came in. I thought he was excellent, you know, except for maybe the second half against Kansas City. But the first half, he kept them in the game. And I thought that they were also able to get the best out of the Shane O'Neills, Davey Flores as well. But there are some cracks, obviously. Flores did not have a good game against Vancouver under pressure when the Whitecaps swarmed TFC from the get-go. And so having to come from behind early in that game was really difficult for Toronto, especially without a number nine. I know that everyone's talking about it left, right, and center, but how do you not? Now, he's gone and scored 2 goals this week against Charlotte, Prince Owusu, but that's a position that needs a massive upgrade. And when you're missing Insigne, who won you 2 games single-handedly in New England and then with a goal at home against Charlotte, you're struggling for depth at this point. So that needs to be sorted before anything else because I think John will get the buy-in and he'll get the commitment from the players. But without that talent in the end and that depth, it's just going to be tough for them.
And they've had a lot of injuries as well, picking up a lot of soft tissue injuries that is very concerning for the club.
Yeah, you know, Richie Larea is a big miss for them as well. And they can't afford to have players like Insigne and Larea out and then Johnson for a period of time, although, as I say, Gavrin came in and did well. But, that is concerning, the injury thing. You know, I think he's got a good staff of medical people there. Our old friend Greg Bay has been basically flown in to try to help alleviate some of that. So it's not as if I don't think the staff is an issue. Maybe it's just a case of bad luck, right? But who knows exactly what's going on there with the number of injuries. If they can get some of those depth pieces back and those star players back, then they've got a chance, I think.
How do you feel about the team you cover? Greg does Vancouver Whitecaps 3 questions. You guys talk about your team, your home team right now. It seems like they're picking up from where they left off last year on that run into the playoffs.
Yeah, I've got to be careful and call them neutral because we really do with MLS season.
Yeah, time. I don't. It's your team, Paul, and you can say whatever you want. Go ahead. You're flying into New York. I get it.
Yeah, I am an alumni, but I feel sometimes we actually go over the top learning about the opposition to the detriment of the Whitecaps. You know, right. Danny might tell me that every now and then. And Craig, you remember that too, right? You had to be kind of above line and make sure that you're calling it both ways and neutral. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we do as good a job as we can with that. Yeah. And in saying that, it's hard not to be impressed by what the Whitecaps have done. Vanni Sartini always stresses the team first mentality, and it's needed, right? Because if you lose a Brian White, if you lose a Ryan Gold, you need those other players to step up. And who'd have thought that they'd get the production they are from a Fafapiko, for instance. Although it has to be said, too, that when he got injured, that did seem to change the way that the Whitecaps played against LA, and it made them suffer, too, because he's been just out of this world as a player who shot out of a cannon to start the year. It's just been fantastic for them. And Demir Krylak, I think, has played a role as well, but to a lesser degree. But it really is about the team. And we go on and on about Ryan Gold and what he does on both sides of the ball. But when you lead from example as a designated player by defending from the front and showing that effort, how does any other young player not follow suit? And Brian White is the most selfless player in the league. And that's the one player that Vanny will say that if we lose Brian White, it affects our team more than if we lose any other player on the team because of how he defends from the front and makes selfless runs and defends. And then, you know, he does a good job when he gets his chances. He had a hatful against LA Galaxy, only scored the one, and that might have changed that game too. But overall, those two, Gold and White, have been so strong for the Whitecaps that along with what Vanny's done to build more defensive stability has made them a threat in the West. I will say that I'm a little concerned with how they approach the game against the Galaxy in some regards, only in that I know they want that defensive stability and the offensive threat that the Galaxy provide is there. I just feel that if they were a bit more aggressive like they were against Toronto, albeit, again, a completely different opposition, that it engages the crowd a little bit more. It says that we're not overly respecting our opponent and we're sticking to our game plan. Problem is, the Whitecap game plan is to be hard to break down first and then try to transition. And they did have chances in that game against the Galaxy too. So you could say that if they had scored one of them, it would have been a different game.
We were talking with Asa Raymond about the, you know, the designated spot rule or spot that is available to Vancouver and whether or not they would dabble in that. Would that be disrupting to this squad that's so tight right now, or is this something that the Whitecaps would consider?
I think most people around MLS feel that this is a good team, but in order to be a great team, they do need that piece. They need that designated player piece. Axel Schuster will tell you, their sporting director, that it's about getting the right piece, not the first piece. You know, that's his favorite quote. And I think he's been right for the most part. They haven't made rash decisions just to bring in someone to fill a spot that hasn't worked out. So they want to be very careful about who they do bring in to add to this mix, because it's super important for Vanny that any player that comes into the squad knows that it's the team first. It's not about padding stats or getting a new contract somewhere else. And those players, I think, are more difficult to find, who aren't really about improving their own stock in life. So they're on the march for that. They want to bring someone in at some point, whether it's the summer window or not. But I think, again, they'll do what's right for the team before they make any decisions that are just about filling that spot in the near term.
This is a new segment right now. It's called Messy Watch. And I'm just throwing it in because we always need to talk about the face of the league. Apple, MLS, they've said Miami, they've all put their money where their mouth is and have invested in Lionel Messi. What is the big takeaway for this week, Craig, for you with Messi, whether it's amount of games, how he's still playing at the level? Are we going to see less of him? Are they going to make decisions about what games he's playing and in front of what crowds? You know, what is your takeaway for the Messi watch this week?
Well, I think you mentioned me. I mean, from my point of view, I think we've seen where Miami is and where they're what they're doing with Messi as far as minutes and loads and all this sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how they play it out. It's a league that you don't have to win outright. You got to be going in with the playoffs with momentum. So it'll be interesting. He'll be certainly rested at times, and we know that, though we don't, that's what they're going to do. But it is nice to see him make these MLS appearances, and especially last week, I guess, against Kansas City with, 60, 70,000 people there. An impressive performance from Messi.
Yeah, he's the player of the week based on the goal and the assist, and beautiful assist. Phenomenal goal as well. You know, it's close to the keeper, but it's one of those knuckling bullets that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it's central-ish. It's up and over you, and you can't spring to it. It's such a well-hit ball, and he's a phenomenon. I kind of tire a little bit if people say that Messi's past it and MLS is not of the competition that Messi is used to playing against, so you can't really gauge him. I go back to the fact that the World Cup was only, 18 months ago? And he was the best player in the World Cup, and their team won. And he's come here, and he's smashed MLS with the League's Cup victory. And every time he steps on the park, he scores or he sets something. The guy is unbelievable still. And I'll just get back to the fact that he's 36, but his running years are 18 because he doesn't run. and everyone's afraid to tackle him.
It's true.
Him,
he jogs. Right? He jogs a little bit, but he's... sprints for 4 meters and then he jogs again.
His bodyguard's faster.
Yeah, that's right. he's the slowest player in the world, but when the ball's at his feet, he's a magician, and then he's lightning to get through bodies. But his passing ability, his knowledge, the old adage of your head is one step ahead of your feet. He's 20 steps ahead, and the vision he's got, the passing range, and then you forget that he can score with both feet so simply because he's a compact guy, but he gets power behind it and obviously the spin and everything else that makes it so difficult for keepers. I think he is still among the best 5 players in the world.
And that was Messi Watch this week on Footy Prime. Thank you for that, guys. Anyways, it's been a rousing 35-minute podcast. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. If people want to get more of your stodginess, where do they find you? Where do we have coming up? I know you mentioned New York. Give us some promo for Paul Dolan.
Yeah, MLS Season Pass on Apple TV is where you catch every single MLS game and Leagues Cup game. And every game that the Whitecaps or TFC or CF Montreal play is on MLS Season Pass. And, yeah, we hope you'll join us for that game in New York. It should be, I say, you know, you're always going to say, oh, it should be a good one. But you're talking about the best team in the East right now in New York and what a lot of people think is one of the best teams in the West in Vancouver. So that's the following weekend. They're down in Seattle, the Whitecaps, this week. I've got an off, but we'll see you hopefully in 10 days' time.
And that was Dolly the Goalie at Twitter, if you want to find him, or X. Paul Dolan, thanks so much for joining us. Craig Forrest, amazing as always on MLS Box to Box. And I'm Wonger, ultimate soccer expert. Cheers for listening. Footy Prime.
See you guys.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.